Amen. All right, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of John. John chapter 20. And I'm going to pick up at verse 19. John chapter 20, picking up at verse 19. And as you're turning to John chapter 20, I want to share a little story about this gentleman who decided that he wanted to be famous. He wanted to be successful. He wanted to be somebody, Sister Carolyn. And what he decided to do was that he says, I'm going to go climb the highest mountain I can climb. So he's climbing and traversing this mountain, and all he can think about, I'm going to be famous. People are going to know my name. As he continues to climb, it begins to turn dark on him, but that didn't matter, because what mattered more than anything else, people are going to know my name when I make it to the top of this mountain. Then one thing happened, he slipped and he began to fall. And he was falling, and he thought all hope was lost. And then all of a sudden, the rope that he was attached to caught him in the middle of the air. And it was so dark, he didn't know exactly where he was. He was confused. He was just not sure what's going on around him. And he decided to do the one thing he knew how to do. He prayed. He says, Father, I trust you. I place no one above you. God, if it so be your will, please deliver me from this predicament that I am in. And the Lord says, do you really trust me? He says, absolutely, I trust you, Lord. He says, if you trust me, I need you to do one simple thing for me. Would you cut the rope? Is there anybody else up there, Lord? Because for this gentleman, he was trusting more in what he was holding on to, more than willing to let go at the voice of God. The danger that we see even today in our faith is that we have many people who will cling to something that they feel like is keeping them safe and secure, but it's ultimately going to lead to their death, because they found this man the next morning frozen to death, only 10 feet from the ground. All he had to do was trust God's voice, and that voice was leading him to life. But he would rather hold on to something that was ultimately going to lead him to death. And I want you to think about this. Is there anything in your life that you are holding on to that's killing you rather than leading you to life? Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? And the danger is we're holding on to too much stuff, and we think we can put our faith and trust in that more than we put our faith and trust in God. What God wants more than anything else, God, and this is going to sound blasphemous, so just forgive me. It's going to sound crazy. God, he loves the fact that we serve, but God would rather have our obedience than our service any day. God would rather have people who would hear his voice and do what he says than anyone who will come up here and clean a floor. God cares more about people being obedient than somebody standing up in a pulpit and preaching every Sunday. What God wants is, will you obey me when you hear my voice? Or would you trust what you are holding on to more than the voice of God? Because sometimes God will call us to do something that makes no sense whatsoever. But God can see things we cannot see. He saw where he was in his situation. And God can see everything in your situation right now. And he can give you advice and give you a word that leads you to life. Because we can only see so far. We can only see so far, but God sees everything. So the question is, are you going to cut the rope? Tell your neighbor, cut the rope. So as we get into our passage today, we're going to look at a fella who had been walking with God, or rather walking with Jesus, but life came at him and threw him out of whack, which is true for many of us, that we've been walking with Jesus. He's been showing us some stuff. Amen, somebody. He's been showing up in some stuff, and we've been rejoicing in that fact, but then life happens, and all of a sudden, we begin to doubt what we have experienced with God. Y'all left me by myself. And maybe you hadn't been there yet. Keep living. Keep living. So as we go to the passage, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. God, we already said, God, we want to hear from you. But God, as we hear from you, may we be obedient to your voice. I pray, Father, that we would not be reluctant when we have heard from you, but that we will be courageous in trusting, God, your voice and executing everything you've commanded us to do, Lord. God, I rebuke fear and uncertainty right now, but God, I pray that you would increase our faith, Lord, so that we would trust you more than trusting what we're holding on to. God, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Pick me up at verse 19, John chapter 20, verse 19. It says, on the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews. So let me pause here parenthetically and say this. Whenever you see in the book of John, when they say the Jews, they're not talking about ethnicity. They're talking about a principality. They're talking about a power, because we've seen this happen before. They showed up at Lazarus' death. They felt like they wanted to comfort people. All right? So the Jews, that's a power. So they show up. They keep showing up because powers and principalities keep showing up. I don't care how saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost you have, the powers will keep showing up and test you. They will challenge you. Are you trusting in the Lord or are you trusting in yourself? Because those powers can speak things to you and make you doubt and question God. So they were fearful that this power was going to show up again. Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. That's always good to hear Jesus say, peace be with you. When you're in unpeaceful situations. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his sides. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord, because he has made them glad. Amen, somebody. Verse 21, Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I'm sending you. Verse 22, and when he had said this, he breathed. Woo, I felt some of my shando right there. He breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld. Verse 24. Now, Thomas was missing out on the party. He was one of the 12 called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see in his hands the marks of the nails and to place my fingers, watch this, into the marks of the nails and place my hand into his side, I would never believe. Okay, so understand the whole context. He says, I would never believe that he really is resurrected. Okay, so it wasn't just saying I don't believe that he showed up. Him showing up is an indication that he also resurrected. And when he says, I would never believe this until I see for myself, he says he really didn't get up. Are y'all tracking with me? So he says, I would never believe. And watch this. You gotta love this. Verse 26. 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them this time. Although the doors were locked, Jesus, again, came and stood among them and said, watch this, again, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your fingers here. See my hands. Put out your hands and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. Thomas answered him, and I love this, and you may want to underline this and pray this yourself. My Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. So today we're just going to talk from this thought. Diary of a doubter. The diary of a doubter. Amen. Last week, we really been in this series talking about Jesus being revealed, and it's amazing how Jesus just shows up when you most need him to, okay? There are moments I've prayed for God to show up in certain circumstances where he just didn't show up. But then there are some moments where I just needed Jesus to show up, and he just showed up. And in this instance, when Jesus showed up in our life and in this story, everything changes. So before we get too holy, think back over your own journey. Think back to your pre-Jesus moment. Don't lose that. Are y'all hearing me? Some of y'all saying, I don't even remember my pre-Jesus. I've been saved since. But think about the moment Jesus invaded your life and how everything changed. Now, let me pause here parenthetically to say this. That doesn't mean that everything changed instantaneous, but it's a progressive state of changing. So when Jesus finds us, there's a progressive change that happens in our life, because what he's doing, he's transforming us into his image, okay? But the moment we have our contact and our moment with Jesus, that sets in motion our life to be forever changed. Are y'all with me? So the beauty is that Jesus will show up even when we begin to have doubts and questions. Okay, watch this. I remember years ago when I was praying, and I love this prayer because I was quitting on Jesus. Have you ever been there? You've been praying for something, and the situation don't seem to be turning around fast enough? You quit Jesus. In your mind, you think you quit Jesus. And so I remember praying in my bedroom, and I shared this on Wednesday before, and I said, Lord, things are not progressing the way I thought it should. I quit. Amen. And thought I was bad when I said it too. Yeah, I told you, Jesus. My situation ain't turning around now. Take that. I'm quitting on you. And watch what the Lord will do. He'll show up in the midst of your craziness. I mean, have you ever been crazy like you just lost your mind for just a moment? But the Lord is not afraid of our crazy moments. He showed up, and this lady called me out of the blue. She says, you know what? Pastor Steve, man, I was sitting at my desk. I was praying, and the Lord said, call you and tell you don't quit. I mean, I pray. I said, amen, I quit. I quit. I thought I was done. God says, you're not done until I say you're done. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? And she says, God told. Now, watch this. Now, she had to be obedient to call. And when I get off the floor, y'all missed that. When I get off the floor, I'm sorry. Because life will throw some curveballs at you, and it makes you question and doubt whether or not God is for you. Let me tell you that God is for you and not against you. And so in the midst of this moment, Thomas is filled with doubt. But notice there was a shift from doubt, because his story has always been one that he questioned God. He questioned some things. Some things didn't make sense to him. But notice there's a shift from doubting to unbelieving. Because doubting is kind of a head thing. Unbelief is a heart thing. And hear his words, I will never believe until I see him for myself. But before we point the finger at Thomas too much, we've been there. Because there's some things we think we ought to be seeing, and we hadn't seen it yet. And then we start doubting and unbelieving. Say, okay, God, you must not be real, because my situation is still the same. My situation hasn't improved. God, I'm starting to doubt and unbelieve what you have said, because you have heard what God has said, and you're just trying to reconcile. Okay, God, you said this, but I'm experiencing this. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? There are moments in our life when we feel like peace has run away from us. And God says, if you keep your mind stayed on me, I will keep you in peace. But I'm in an unpeaceful situation, God. God, I'm not believing what you're saying right now. Now, before we get, you know, too caught up. Now, sometimes we may not say it verbally, because we too sanctified right now. Say, you know, I never say it out loud. I just I thought about it. Just tell the truth, shame the devil. Amen. Because the enemy knows how to throw things at us that will cause us to start disbelieving God. But we have to keep reminding ourselves who God is. Or better yet, let me say this. We need to start remembering what God has already done. Because remember, we're not talking about somebody who had not been walking with Jesus. This brother had been walking with Jesus, seeing Jesus do miracles and miracles and miracles and miracles. And now at this moment, at his lowest point, he's now disbelieving what everything Jesus has said because he was at a low point. And that's when unbelief comes in, when you're at your lowest point in your life and you start doubting and disbelieving. Is he really real? Does he really love me? Does he really care about my situation? Does he really care? But unbelief can be a very dangerous thing. Write down Numbers chapter 14. We're just going to hit that real quick. Don't turn to it. Just write it down. We're going to hit it real quick. In Numbers 14, it really illustrates the danger of unbelief. In this passage, the people had sent out spies to check out the land. And they were required to come back and give a testimony of what they had seen. 10 of them gave a bad report. 2 gave a good report. 10 says, we can't do it. We can't do it. 2 of them said, we can do it. But the people didn't believe. So in verse chapter 14, verse 11, this is what it says. And the Lord said to Moses, how long will this people despise me? Watch this. And in the Hebrew it says, really, they try to play me. If we're using our modern day terminology, try to play me. They try to diss me. How they gonna disrespect me like that? How long, watch this, he says, how long will they not believe in me? And watch what the Lord says. In spite of all the signs that I have done for them, how they gonna play me like that? I've done too much for y'all. And now you're starting to disbelieve everything I've shown you? Stop playing me like that. But here's the problem with unbelief. Here's 3 things. Just kind of jot it down. 3 things about unbelief. First of all, unbelief causes undue caution. It causes undue caution. When you look at Numbers chapter 13, verse 2, the Lord emphasize, the Lord said this, send the men to spy out the land. Verse 17, Moses did just that. So let's pause here. God spoke, Moses performed. Okay? Now, was it necessary for them to really send the spies? Because God had already told them it existed. But the problem is we're human and we need to see stuff. We need to put our hands on stuff, make sure, okay, this is really real. God had been telling them at least more than 20 different times that this promised land does exist, and I'm giving it to you. You don't have to fight anybody. You don't have to knock over anybody. You just got to obey my voice and go there. But because God know us, he said, okay, these folks ain't getting it. Okay, I'm going to send 12 people. Check it out. And it's going to be cool. And they came back. It's cool, but... And I can only imagine, I can just see God. See, didn't I tell you it was cool over there? Didn't I tell you that? And they said, yeah, but you didn't tell us the whole story. You didn't tell us that we were going to be like grasshoppers in our own eyesight. That when we walked over there, that it was going to be like Jurassic Park. They eating their own people. That's in the scripture if you hadn't torn it out. In Numbers chapter 13, they really started thinking that they saw people eating up folks over there. Because here's the thing, sometimes God, you know, he'll put us in a situation that's so unbelievable that we start making up stuff about it. Back home, we say that's putting 100 on 10, like you're exaggerating. They not really eating up people, are they really? But to magnify the problem even greater, man, Lord did say it was really awesome over there, but man, they eating up people over there. I don't know if we need to be rolling over there. It's really bad. It's really bad. If we're going to go, let's know what we're really dealing with. Because anytime you hear an exaggerated story like that, it makes your eyes get bigger, right? And then in your mind, you know it sounds fantastic. But in your mind, you're like, but it sounds too fantastic. So it's gotta be true. They just not gonna make this up. But that's what happens. And now they're cautious and going back over there. Rather than trusting what God had been saying to them, rather than trusting even what they had seen with their own eyes, because that's what we tend to do. We wanna major on the minor stuff. God says, I've already given you the land. It doesn't matter what's there. Whatever obstacle, whatever difficulty, I've given it to you. But the problem is we feel like we got to do everything. So they saw these giants. They feel like, okay, we got to do something. We got to do something. And these dudes are bad, and we can't do nothing. But secondly, unbelief magnifies the obstacles. So when you look at Numbers chapter 13, verse 26, the 10 spies returned, and they told them everything that was there. But as they were telling the story, they weren't magnifying so much as the blessing than the problems. Have you ever been there? You think back over your own life, and you think, man, I'm further along than I've ever been in my life. But then something happens, and then that problem becomes greater than anything else. The problem starts speaking louder than God. If you're ever in a place where the problems are speaking louder than God, then you need to take a step back. Okay, God, what are you seeing in this moment? Okay, God, I need to revisit what you have already said so I can be encouraged in what you are saying right now and what I'm seeing right now. Because sometimes we struggle trying to make sense out of what God has said and what we are seeing. But God doesn't call us to go by what we are seeing, but what we are believing. If God has said it, then we have to trust that God means what he says. And not doubt his stuff. Not doubt it. But then watch this third thing when you read this whole story. It says that unbelief spreads. It's like a cancer. Because now all the people begin to doubt and start disbelieving what God has said. God, you have promised us this land. Now they come with this bad report. Now we're doubting. We're not sure. God, you're able. Now remember, think about this story. This is the same God that brought them out of Egypt. Okay? They didn't have to do anything. They just had to obey God's voice. This was the same God that brought them to the Red Sea and parted the Red Sea. Are you tracking what I'm saying? God showed his power there. He showed his power there. They were in the wilderness. They were hungry. God made it rain bread. Rain and bread. When they got thirsty, he spoke to the rock. Water came out. I mean, when the last time you seen water come out of a rock, really? I mean, they hadn't seen this kind of stuff. And now they're on the precipice of going into the promised land, and now you're doubting God. So he wasn't God then. Really? He wasn't God then? That's the same God that brought you out. And guess what? He's going to be the same God that's going to see you through this. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? We cannot forget where God has brought us from. That's part of our testimony. We got to testify what God has done, what God is doing, and what God will do. Because if we believe he's the same God. And so as we look at this passage, it gives us an idea of the kind of unbelief that Thomas is dealing with. Write down John chapter 11, verse 17. Kind of give you a picture of Thomas, known as Doubting Thomas. When Jesus said he had to go back to Judea because he had to go see about his friend named Lazarus, it was Thomas that had challenged the brothers. Let's go with him. So he knew that he had to go with Jesus. He had to follow Jesus, But before we celebrate him too quick, he says, let's go with him so we can die with him. Because for Thomas, he was always on the fence. Because he always had to see something in order to really believe something. Jesus was thinking, we're going to be cool, we straight, because it's not my time to die. Well, you know, they tried to kill you back then, Jesus, so, you know, I'm going to trust what they say rather than what you say. And there are still too many people in this world that's trusting more in what they say than what God has said. Sometimes you got to stop listening to they. And first, who is they? They always got something to say. Hush! I'm sorry. I just got caught up right there. That's why you have to be careful who you share your vision with. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? I remember I shared my vision because I was naive. I was just, you know, a young preacher excited about the Lord. I said, the Lord has showed me that he called me to plant this church and watch what they say. God ain't showed me that. I said, you right. He showed me that. So you have to be careful in what you share with people, because everybody doesn't celebrate what God is doing in your life. And they maybe try to pull you down. They elevate you up. So don't listen to they. And so Thomas is one of those they people. He's, I'm with you, Jesus, as long as I'm seeing something good. And we got some of them too. I'm with you, Jesus, as long as you're blessing me. As long as you're making a way for me, Jesus, I'm good. And now tragedy has struck. Now he ain't believing nothing. Are y'all here? Because we can go along with Jesus as long as it's going well until something happens. Then we feel like God has abandoned us. God has not abandoned you, nor will he ever abandon you. So forget what them they people say. Write down John chapter 14, verse 5. Because at this point, Thomas is trying to figure out where Jesus is going. Jesus was telling him, he's letting him know that I'm getting ready to go to a place. I'm going to prepare a place. Thomas was like, where are we going? It wasn't time for you to go yet. But he wanted to go with Jesus. Because for him, as long as he was going and seeing, he would continue to follow Jesus. Are you tracking with me? Our relationship with God cannot just be based on what we are seeing with our eyes. That's why he says that we ought to live by faith. And without it, you cannot please God. And so with Thomas, I need to see it. I need to see it in order to believe it. And we have some people here today that's like that. Until I get that new job. I got quiet right there, huh? Somebody must have prayed that this week. Like, I ain't gonna say amen on that one because you're my Kool-Aid today. But what we see with Thomas is that he shifts. Everybody say shifts. From doubting to unbelieving. When we look at John, go back to John chapter 20, verse 24. At this point, we see that Jesus shows up. And remember in the picture, the image here, the doors are locked. Okay? Jesus hadn't done this before now. I want you to pay attention to this. He hadn't done anything like this before. Okay? He just shows up. The doors are locked. His disciples are really in a state of mourning and grief. And Jesus just appears, demonstrating that something has happened now. Are y'all following what I'm saying? Because there are some experiences with Jesus you only have to experience in the moment. So Jesus doesn't do this before. He does it when they needed it the most. When they were doubting, when they were disbelieving, when they were in grief, he shows up. I'm so glad that the Lord knows how to show up right when I need him. Not a moment less. And that's exactly what happened. He shows up. And unfortunately, Thomas is not there. Of all the people to miss this kind of party, Thomas ain't the cat that needs to be missing this kind of stuff. Now, we don't know the reason. We don't know the reason why he's not there. All we know is that he's not there. But let's look at what he missed, though. First and foremost, he missed the presence of the Lord. Whatever business he was tended to, he must need to take care of because he missed the presence of the Lord. But then also, watch this, he missed the power of the Lord. Because remember, Jesus hadn't showed up like this before. He missed that demonstration in that moment, okay? But notice this, he missed the peace of the Lord. Oh gosh, Jesus shows up and he says, peace be with you. But then also, watch this, write this down. They missed the praises of the Lord. Because watch this, it says that Jesus made them glad. Okay, it's in your Bible if you hadn't torn it out. Jesus shows up, their mourning, their grief turns to gladness. Because that's what Jesus does. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Well, let me tell you the truth. Jesus is the morning that brings the joy. And so as long as Jesus shows up, guess what? There's going to be joy. All right? So they missed he missed the gladness part. But then also, he missed the promotion. Because notice what Jesus says. As the Lord sent me, I now send you. He missed that message. But peep game, when you look at verses 22 through 23, he missed the provisions of the Lord. So watch what happens. Jesus breathe on them. I mean, okay. And I want you to think back to what this really illustrates. Go all the way back to the beginning. In creation, God formed man out of nothing. And he and there was life. So here we have these group of disciples who by all accounts are really nobodies. They're really nothing. And Jesus takes them and he says, I'm going to take this nothing and breathe life into you. Because that's what the Lord is able to do. He's able to breathe life into us. Amen, somebody. And he missed that. But here's what you need to write down and go home and chew on this. Here's what we need to take away from this. You need to stay connected to people even when things get hard. I'm gonna say that one more time. You need to stay connected to people even when difficulty happens. Because the tendency for many people is that when hard times come, I'm gonna back up away from people. I gotta be by myself. I got to deal with this on my own. But the beauty that God has in the body of Christ is that we learn to bear one another's burdens. So if you have a hard time, then guess what? We having a hard time, but we're going to get through this together. Okay? Because you learn to encourage one another. There are times when you can encourage yourself in the Lord. Praise the Lord, somebody. But there are some times when you can't get a word to yourself. And sometimes God has to get a word through somebody to you. And so if you're disconnected from the family, guess what? You will miss that word. So you need to stay connected. Everybody say, stay connected. Because it's easy to run away. Just do me a favor. Do me a favor. Just look around the room. Now, I know it's going to be hard today because we got people out for spring break. But you'll notice some people start missing. For weeks at a time, okay? That's when you need to go find them. Because what the enemy loves to do is like to insulate us. Like the Bible says, he says, the enemy is like a roaring lion. He's seeking whom he may devour, and he only devours those who are isolated and by themselves. And what the enemy wants to do is say, let me get them by themselves. Because then they start buying my lies really good. I'm not loved. Nobody really cares about me. I'm not smart. I'm not important. I'm not kind. Because now the enemy is whispering these lies, and nobody's there to refute the lies. Nobody's telling you and speaking life into you, because now the enemy is speaking louder than the Lord is. Because Thomas was missing, he missed that opportunity. Amen. I remember hearing a story about a pastor. It was about a husband who was getting ready for church, and he noticed that his wife was already ready. which was strange all by itself. Hello, lights and walls. But this day, he was struggling getting ready. He was struggling. He just really wasn't feeling like going to church. And his wife sees that she's ready. He's not. She says, "What's wrong, baby? Why are you not ready to go to church?" He says, "They don't like me there. They don't like me there. They really don't care anything about me. They ignore me. I just don't feel like people care." And she says, "Baby, people do care about you. People do love you. They are the body of Christ. And besides, you the pastor, you need to go anyway." Because sometimes even the pastor gets discouraged sometimes. And his wife gave him a word. And sometimes you just need to hear a word. That wasn't me. That was not. I don't want y'all tweeting it. Yeah, my pastor don't want to go to church no more. Just don't tweet that. Don't tweet that. Say he's going to stay home. Anyway, when we look at verses 24 and 25, notice now Thomas rolls onto the scene, and this is where we see his unbelief revealed, okay? Because remember, he says, "I will never believe." That's what he said. But write down Luke chapter 24, verse 11, and then Mark chapter 16, verse 11. Because he wasn't the only one who struggled with unbelief. Because sometimes I think when we go through some things, we think we are the only ones who are going through hard times. Because when they had heard, the other disciples, when they had heard about the resurrection, guess what? They didn't believe. Are y'all tracking with me? They heard the resurrection, they didn't believe. So when we're going through, don't think that you're the only one who's going through something. There are people in here right now that's lifting up holy hands and thanking Jesus, and they are going through hell right now because they understand Jesus not just a savior, but they understand Jesus as a sustainer too. So if he kept me through that before, then he's going to keep me in this situation now. And so therefore, I'm here to bless the Lord for who he is, not what I'm experiencing. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? And so when you start showing up and testifying, even in your trials, oh yeah, you done figured out some stuff now. Because you learn to bless the Lord at all times. Not sometimes, not convenient times, but at all times. Are y'all tracking with me? And so we don't want to beat up Thomas and think that he's the only one who didn't believe. There were others that didn't believe. But he went a step further. He says, "Until I see and put my hands in his wounds." Because for him, the word was not enough. Oh, gosh. Help me, Holy Ghost. For Thomas and others, the word was not enough. Okay, let me come over here. Now, you have to remember, Jesus had been telling them, "I'm going to die, but I'm not going to stay dead." He told them in John chapter 11, "I am the resurrection and the life." Jesus now got executed. They were doubting and disbelieving that he was going to be resurrected. So his word was not enough. And I don't know about you, but I've been in some places in my life, some dark places, where I feel like his word was not enough. Can I be human for a moment? Where people say, just read the word, just trust his word. Well, I'm having a hard time with that right now. Can I just be human for a moment? There are some circumstances that I face in life that made me think that the word is not enough. But then every time, the Lord shows me that I am more than enough. Because then, watch this, then Steve is no longer depending on himself anymore. That's when I start saying, "God, I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour, every day, God, I need thee. I can't make it without you." Because sometimes God has to bring us down so that we can look up to him. And so for Thomas, and just like us, it's okay to be in the low place. But guess what? He won't leave you there. So here's my favorite saints, the ones who's always blessed and highly favored by the Lord. They never have a hard day. Y'all know one or two, don't you? They always bless. And you know they're going through bankruptcy right now. You know they're having a marital problem. I'm blessed and highly favored by the Lord. Because they hadn't felt like they've been in a safe place to talk about what's going on. That's why we need each other. Amen. Is this a safe place? Can this be a safe place? We ain't got to run people down when they having hard times. Because guess what? If they down now, you might be down later. You keep living. He said, you next. So here's the second thing you need to write down. Here's the second principle here that we learned from his life. The second thing, faith in the risen Christ brings peace and joy and hope and salvation. And you can write whatever else. Faith in the risen Christ, because he didn't have that yet until Jesus showed up. Are y'all hearing me? When we put our faith in him, he gives us what we need, the faith. He gives us the joy, the peace, and salvation. But faith is so essential to our faith. That's why the writer of Hebrews says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. You must believe that he is. Before you start asking for rewards, you must believe that he is. And that he is a reward of those who diligently seek him. So the crux is that we need faith. Faith is like, think about it like this. I grew up in the hip-hop era, and this is the only thing I thought about faith. Faith is like a hype man, H-Y-P-E. It's like a hype man, somebody that's there to help move the crowd, to hype them up, okay? So although they may not come in there hype, the hype man gets some hype. Put your hands in there. Wait, like you just don't care. You love Jesus Christ, shout, oh yeah. Y'all ain't hype yet, okay, so we got to work on that. But their job is just, yeah, yeah, yeah. They just yelling. And then all of a sudden you find yourself yelling, yeah. Because that's what a hype man does, is get you hyped. So sometimes your faith got to be like that. Just say, yes, God going to help you out. Yes, God going to make a way. Yes, God going to do it. He's done it before. Won't he do it again? Won't he do it? Won't he do it? You start saying, yes, he will. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. I'm hyped. I believe. So faith says, it doesn't matter what I'm seeing. I'm trusting in the unseen God who can do all things well. And he needed a hype man. He needed his faith restored. And Jesus shows up. So when you look at verses 26 and 29 through 29, watch what happens. Thomas didn't miss it. He missed it before. He ain't missing this again. He's staying close to the rest of the people. And guess what happens? Jesus shows up the same way. Watch. Oh, my gosh. He shows up exactly the way they described it. Because remember, they're dealing with somebody who's a doubter, who's unbelieving. And Jesus says, okay, I know my boy. You know, even if I show up a different kind of way, he gonna have something to say about that. Don't leave me by myself. Because sometimes we almost have a prescribed way we need Jesus to show up. So they said, man, Thomas, Jesus showed up. The doors were locked, everything. And he just, boom, he was right there. I don't believe y'all. Then watch this. If he really did that, I'm using my Holy Ghost imagination now. If he really did it, I want him to do it again, just like that. And it's almost like Groundhog's Day. Did it all over again. He just showed up just like they said. Because for some, they struggle with the seeing and believing. And sometimes God will just show up in a way that just makes sense. Are y'all hearing me? Sometimes that's what you need, is just for Jesus just to show up and it makes sense. And he says, now put your hand here. Touch this. Now believe. And watch what happens when you look at it. He says, He went from, I ain't never, to watch this. Now he's saying, my Lord and my God. He went from unbelieving to now calling him Lord. And that's what Jesus does. He shows up and he satisfies. And we don't mind calling him Lord. Y'all hearing? Because he satisfies us all the way down to our inward parts. So here's the thing you need to walk away with this last thing. Living by faith leads to a fulfilled life. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? Living by faith leads to a fulfilled life. And there are people that you know in your life that are living unfulfilled life. They're searching, they're looking for all the answers in all the wrong places. You know, so here recently, I've been doing a lot of premarital counseling. And one of the things I've discovered in some is that people have a tendency of elevating the relationship above their Lord. And so what I often do, I say, okay, so here's what I want you to think about it, is the three M's. You can just kind of jot down, three M's. Master, mission, mate. Master, mission, mate. And I said, because the first thing you got to get right is that you got to get the relationship with the master right, okay? Because he can do for you what nobody else can, okay? So what Thomas does, he says, my Lord and my God. So he got that right. Boom. But then also you need to be clear about the mission. Jesus says to him, God sent me, and I send you. So it gives you a sense of purpose. You know why you're here. You're here because God sent you, okay? You have a sense of purpose with your life. And then you're ready for a mate. So what happens if you don't get the first two right, you mess up everything, including the mate, okay? So then what you do, you get somebody, and then because you don't have it right with the master, then guess what? You elevate them to be your master. You look to them to satisfy you more than Jesus. And they are not equipped to do that. There are just some things you just need Jesus to fix you in your life, and the mate can't do that. They make me whole. They make me complete. No, they don't. You think they will, but they're not equipped to make you complete and whole. Jesus does that. But watch what happens. So if you miss on the master, and okay, then you're not sure about your mission. Then you start making your mate the mission. You go and do for them all the time. What you need, baby? I got you. Whatever you need, I got you, babe. Oh, I got you. And they think that's cool. They think that's cute until you get tired. You tired of running for them. And now they mad at you, and you mad at them because they mad at you. And now you have... Because you thought you were marrying the ideal. Then it became an ordeal. Then you started looking for a new deal. Because you made them the mission. So once you clear on the master and the mission, then you're ready for the mate. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So you got to get it right with the Lord first, and everything else will be added. Stop looking outside of him and trust him that he loves you. He has a plan for you. So don't doubt him because of life circumstances. Don't stop believing because life has thrown you a curveball. God is for you, and he is more than anything against you. Tell your neighbor, don't doubt. Trust. You bow with me for a moment. Bow with me for a moment. God, we thank you. God, thank you for sticking with us. David says, I've been young, and now that I'm old, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. God, thank you for never forsaking us. God, thank you for never giving up on us. God, we're so grateful
for you being real in our life. God, you can handle our doubt and disappointment. You don't run away from us, Lord. God, but you run to us. And God, you bring wholeness into our life. And so, Father, I'm lifting up those, God, who are questioning and doubting who you are. I'm praying for that person or person, God, who's having unbelief plague their heart. Father, I pray that you would become so pronounced in their life, God, that they will cry out, my Lord and my God, God, because you showed up. Father, I pray, God, that as you show up, that they will surrender to you completely, that they will resist the temptation of trusting more in what they are seeing than what they have heard from you. God, satisfy their soul. Satisfy their curiosities. God, just show up. You. Thank you for sticking close. You said, God, your word, that you will be with us always, even into the end of all days. God, may they never lose sight of that. God, that they would never lose sight. God, that you would never abandon them. There's no sin too great, Lord, that you can't forgive. God, your word says there is no more condemnation in Christ Jesus. So, Lord, I pray that they won't condemn themselves, but God, that they would live in the freedom and the liberty that you offer us. No more chains, no more shackles, but where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, God. God, we bless your name. God, we bless your name. God, we thank you for those who raised their hands today. God, you know the state that they're in. And God, we believe and we know that you won't leave them in the state that they're in, Lord. Because even in the pain, there is purpose. God, thank you. God, keep your hands upon them. Breathe on them. Give life. In Jesus' name.